You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique LeRae. I am back in the country. One out of two final trips for the Endemic Project. Thank you to everybody that supports this. Three films in 3.5, 4 years, and it's been a whirlwind. But I want to give a shout out to Sorghum United. Where is it? Right here. Thank you so much for your support. If you guys haven't heard, I've joined as VP of Marketing and Media for Sorghum United and for Sorgho Squad, which is a comic book to bring education about nutrition and sorghum and millets around the world. So thank you, everybody. The team has been so supportive. So today we have a power-packed show. Let's jump right into it. Mitch Francis is with us today. Mitch, how's it going? And welcome to The Startup.
Hey, Monique. It's great to be with you.
It's great to be with you, too. So thank
you're
you so much.
Busy, my goodness. We should be.
What'd you say?
You're busy. We should be interviewing you.
It's true. I plan to just, you know, go hard now and enjoy the later years. So,
startup. That's great.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we want to talk about you, Badass Solutions. Why don't we go full screen and give you an opportunity to introduce yourself, your brand, and your book?
Great. So, I have a very extensive business background. I created and been CEO of publicly traded companies, private companies. I developed commercial real estate and so own and manage commercial real estate all over the country. And one of the things that I found is that, you know, for anybody in business, you've got to be extremely skilled at problem solving, because no matter what you are, who you are, every step of the way toward your goal, you're going to have roadblocks thrown at you. And if you can't figure out how to get over them, around them, through them, you're just not going to succeed. So I think every business person really develops good skills in problem solving. So, you know, I do think I got extreme skills in that, you know, for the level of problems that I've always incurred, but I've been very fortunate, very successful. And a couple of years ago, there was a family tragedy where a family member was killed by a young man with assault rifles. You may remember a 4th of July parade at a suburb of Chicago, where seven people were killed, many other people were hurt. Needless to say, the family was devastated, and, you know, beside being hurt by this, I left pissed. And I looked around and I said, you know, that I've always been kind of a news hound, kind of interested in current affairs. And I'm just kind of the guy that says, well, why don't they just do that? And, you know, I left, as I said, pissed. And I just decided I needed to take stock and do something about it. And, you know, and there I had all these ideas for major problems at least were the beginnings of some solutions. And I did an outline, and I was surprised that I had, you know, a lot of solutions, or certainly the beginnings of solutions for 20 of our biggest problems that we face. Everything from the rising ocean levels to assault rifles to homelessness, immigration, you know, on and on and on. And that was 2 years ago. And now I have the book. It just came out this summer. It's been very well received. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get people to jump on the bandwagon of solving problems.
Okay. First of all, thank you for that incredible introduction. And the fact that you have time to speak with us is actually the blessing here on a Sunday. I'm looking at what you're actually doing in this book and what you've been doing. And it's just, it blows me away, because I think you're right. You're a business person and there will always be issues, no matter how organized, how well planned. The universe is going to throw something at you. And every damn day. And I think, you know, I like to look at it as pebbles along the road, and I'm building this beautiful thing, this beautiful empire. And I don't take it personal. When you're younger, you take it personal. Like, is it me? Did I do something? And now you've got this beautiful skill set, And it looks like you've expanded to help the world around you, not just affecting business. So right here, you're really tackling a lot of the issues. And it's funny because this portion of what you're doing would be great for my other podcast, but we'll get into that. But let's talk about a couple things that you mentioned, but let's just jump on in. You're discussing how to make public schools better than private schools to heal the rich and poor deficit there, the crevasse. You spoke about the ocean and the rising levels, ending gang and drug crime. I'm a child of the 80s. I mean, I grew up in the late 70s, so I understand that very well. And I know it's shifted in a different way. You know, the assault rifle thing that you mentioned, which was a tragedy, still is a tragedy. How to house and treat addicted, homeless, mentally ill people at a very low cost. That is a big issue and close to my heart. Let's expand about that since we're getting closer to Thanksgiving, even though we should think of the less fortunate and mentally ill all the time. What are some ideas that jump out for you now that we could do?
Well, it's a big answer to a really big problem. But some things came to light for me. We have about 500,000 people who are homeless today. And you know, it seems like most of them are at my freeway exit in Los Angeles. You know, I know you're here in LA. But it's horrible. They're, you know, it seems like they're everywhere we look, and you know, it's such a huge problem. There are people in our society of great wealth, really struggling, really hurting, and in horrible conditions. But something came to light for me, which was shocking when I finally put it together, and I said, you know, we have 335 million people in the United States now, and 500,000 people are homeless. And when you put that into perspective, that's 17% of just 1%. Not even, you know, not even 25% of 1%. It's a tiny fraction of our population. And we don't really think of it that way. Yeah. And I looked at this, well, to provide housing and food and medical care and mental support and drug addiction help and retraining and you know, all of the things that people who are homeless need, how much would it cost? You know, I'm a business guy. So, you know, I look at this, is it $25,000 a year per person? And, you know, I looked at this and I said, well, that's $12.5 billion a year. Sounds like a big number, but it's bizarre, Monique. That's not even a rounding error in the money that our federal government spends. You know, that's how much we're spending on interest of the federal deficit in a day and a half.
You get passionate about it because you're business minded. You get how this works. And when you do look at, because America is a business, let's just be honest. It's a big corporation. Yeah. And we all are paying and buying into it when we pay our taxes and we do our civil duties as citizens. I mean, so this is a part of a problem of a business of America. And if you're approaching it this way and using pragmatic, unemotional, political party-based solutions, imagine that. You could actually get something effing done. I mean, don't get me started.
No, but that's what I set out to do, is make it nonpartisan. I had no criteria of party or even money. I want solutions. What's it going to take? And then it turned out that, like, for this solution, not very much money, and we can solve it. And at the same time, think about the numbers of people we can employ to service all of these homeless people and get them, you know, the food and shelter and medical care and retraining and, you know, all of this. We have so many people who are going to need or do need jobs. We have immigrants. We have people who are being, you know, obsolete because of robotics and artificial intelligence. But these are like hands-on jobs that we need. So it's a win-win for a lot of our population.
Great, great point. I think where the disconnect could be for some people, if they aren't local to Southern California, Los Angeles specifically, and larger cities here, and they don't really understand the nuances that are around the homeless situation here, is that mental health piece. Sometimes someone is only a couple sessions away, a couple doctor visits away from getting the medicine to get their mental back on track, to really get them to be an asset to society, right? Sure. And And I think, why can't we reinvest in these people and retrain? Like you said, we need all hands on deck. There's plenty of work to be done. And even just feeding back into the homeless community and helping in that regard and giving people self-pride and self-resilience and just something to look forward to. And yes, we are I've said this on other shows as I go through my MBA course and we're working with the AI logistics and machine learning. I will say any job that is automated, any job that's repetitious today will eventually become automated, as we know. Right. It's not going to stop. But if we train people on how to use these tools, how great would that be?
Oh, you're so right. You're so right. You know, and I'll tell you something, I really like everything you said. And I really, I'm at the point that, you know, we cannot be a great society with this kind of this level of people and the suffering they're going through. And it's so affordably solved. Let's do this. My hope with the book is get people excited, get them to tell other people about it, write to their representatives and go make this happen. We can all make a difference. And I, you know, there's a kind of a central theme of my book, actually, is that from a quote from Mahatma Gandhi, who said, when the people lead, the leaders will follow.
That's timely. That's very timely. And I just got back from India a couple of days ago. So that is very timely and applicable.
Yeah. To so many of our problems. We got to get involved. And there are answers.
Let's plug. I want you to come back. Of course, I have a Power Pack show. Like I said, I was traveling last week, so I'm catching up with everyone. I want to give you more time. We'll have to have you come back. I want you to get involved in our homeless feed that we do as part of the show. But let's get into the bad.
By the way,
would say
I have 19 other great solutions.
Right, but of course. So let's tease out one real quick. Give us one that's close to your heart. I know that's going to be hard to pick another one. Tease one out and then tell us where we can get the book.
Okay, gotcha. You know, the global warming is causing the polar ice caps to melt at a rate that would fill 20 Olympic-sized swimming pools every second, Monique.
Did you say every second?
Every second.
I can't even, what is going on?
we're facing a catastrophe that's socioeconomic catastrophe unlike anything that humankind has ever seen before, and nobody's doing anything about it. And I've actually realized how we can actually stop the ocean levels from rising and at the same time use all that fresh water for the billions of people living in the most parched areas of our world. It can be done. Wow. And even current models for how to do it, it's being done, but not on a global level. And we can make that happen and really save the planet and save our most desperate people on Earth.
It's just, we've got to do something, folks. There's just, let's get these badass solutions into these stockings for Christmas, for Hanukkah, for Kwanzaa. I don't give a heck what you celebrate, what you don't celebrate. This should be the table of conversation at Thanksgiving or any family get together this season, guys. Badass solutions. If you're going to argue about anything this political season, right or wrong, who won, who didn't win, let's talk about humanity, guys. Because guess what? We're not going to be here forever. And I know that we work hard. We all care about someone that's going to live longer than we are. Let's give them the best tools. Let's get with Mitch Francis here with Badass Solutions. Mitch, where can we order this book? How can this become a number one seller from our show? It's already a hot sell, but how can we push this?
Well, thank you very much. I really do appreciate that. It's wherever books are sold. It's on, you know, it's really easy on Amazon. It's Badass Solutions with or without a hyphen, or you can look under Mitch Francis. The website is bad-ass-solutions.com. And it's actually tried to make it with these heavy problems. I actually tried to make it a fun read.
We can tell by the title, which I love. Hello. You got to have some fun somewhere with the heavy issues.
Okay? Yeah, exactly. Nobody wants to be, under this dark cloud, for reading an entire book. It's exciting because there really are good solutions that we can make happen.
Well, let's use this big brain we have here in Mitch Francis, guys, and come together collectively. Let's stop arguing and complaining and really be the change we want to see in the world and activate on behalf of the people that we love and we want to leave something better behind for. Mitch Francis, Badass Solutions, come back and spend more time with us, will you, Mitch?
I sure will. Thank you very much for having me, Monique. This was fun. Quick and fun.
Stay badass. Be well.
You're badass. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, guys. That was Mitch Francis with Badass Solutions. He covers it all. Let me tell you. Sam, let me know if my next guest is there. If you put something in the chat, I'll just see it light up. I won't see what you wrote, but I'll see that there's a chat. So do that for me because, you know, I'm on the phone. Guys, at the Startup with Monique LaRay, celebrating our 5th year. I'm so grateful. We're going to make some changes in the new year. I always say that, right? I want to be transparent here. I'm one person wanting to do a lot in the world, do good, do great, do some cool things. So oftentimes people don't really get what that looks like financially, time-wise, energy-wise. I want to be transparent right now and tell you guys, I do not have an assistant. I do all of this on my own, every single thing. We're doing Jacaranda Charity tonight. Shout out to Jacaranda, helping the kids in Malawi. Shout out to Lainey Strauss running that. When I get off the air with you, I'm going straight there. All the swag bags, I packed them. I literally got off the plane, went straight to school for my MBA, came home, got ready for this charity. So I want you guys to know this show is very transparent. It's not easy. So I want to thank everyone that's patient with me and getting back to them. I really if I see you message me or email me, I really want to get back to you because I don't like to be ignored. And I want you to know that you're important. Sam, when someone comes, just put them on because I can't really see. But we have a full show today. I'm very excited to just get into it. So it's the last quarter, almost the end of the last quarter. Holidays are coming. I guess we're in the holiday season since it was Halloween. I want to shout out everybody that's, you know, just been supportive. Again, at Sorghum United, at Sorgo Squad. Can you see my shirt? Michael Silberg Family Wines, Marcy B, who will be on soon. Everyday Soul Dances by Elaine Holm. There's so many great people behind the scenes that are pushing good energy towards me that support. And, you know, I'll add this to the books that I've been writing. One day they'll come out. maybe one day on one of these long flights, I'll finish them. But the truth of the matter is you have to realize at some point you'll only have so much energy as an entrepreneur, as a startup, and you will drop the ball. You will let some people down. You won't intentionally want to let people down. If you have good communication skills, if they believe in you, if they see what you're working towards, you'll be able to work it out. And like Mitch Francis mentioned at the top of his segment, no matter how organized or what you plan, things are going to happen. This trip was one of the smoother trips I've had, and it was planned, but things happen. And once you just get a tough skin and go, how do I figure this out? How do I stay kind as I can, as patient as I can, path of least resistance, and just don't take anything personal. I would say that to my young entrepreneurs. I used to do that a lot. It's not about you. Everybody's just trying to make it, and just be kind as kind as you can. I've definitely not been kind before. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Catch me on a couple long flights and I'm exhausted. I'm just heading to the hotel. I've definitely ran out of patience, but for the most part, I'm excited for everything that's about to come out. If you guys aren't streaming my film, please go to @thepandemicproject documentary on Instagram. Click the link, like the trailer, scan the QR, stream the film. It's on Roku. We're going to release on YouTube soon. I'm very excited about it. I'm under a white label brand called Flip Flop Network. Shout out to Jason and to Mr. Will out there. Thank you so much for the opportunity. We will have our own Latchkey Kid Films channel on Roku next year. Early next year is the plan. And we'll be continuing to stream the film there. You will get a second film trailer, the second in the trilogy, which is the pandemic film. So the first film explores America, 20 cities, with Gentry Stanley. Shout out to Gentry Stanley and Christopher John and myself. Then the second film goes outside of the U.S. While the world is still on lockdown or coming out of the first lockdown. Okay, so flashback to like top of 2021. We start in Mexico City and Bogota, Colombia. So you'll see all of that. Beautiful people around the world that I've met. Beautiful hospitality. If you think traveling's hard already without a global pandemic, imagine traveling mostly by yourself and getting into countries and being there quick and moving, right? It was quite challenging. That is an understatement, but I'm very proud of it. I know right now everybody's burnt out on COVID and you think what you think about the films, but it's really not what you would think. It's not about politics. It's not about demonizing anyone. It's not about that. It's about the human condition in this time, what people were doing, what they thought in different parts of the world and different parts of America and how we handled it and what our perspectives were. It's a time capsule. So I want you to know that you can actually enjoy this. I hope you don't get triggered. Some people might. I don't think I made it in a way that you would. So stay tuned for that. And then finally making it to the other part of Africa. It took me time. I thought we did Morocco earlier this year, and I've done Morocco before. That's North Africa, as you know. But I wanted to represent the continent better than that. So I found another partner to help. And we're going next month. I'm actually leaving in 2 weeks or a little less than 3 weeks for that. And we'll close the year out with being completely done with the Endemic Project, which is the third film. So stay tuned. That was the update. Sam, I don't see anybody popping up, so we're just going to keep talking until they do. We'll wait. It's Sunday. My show has been on Sundays for 5 years, as you guys know if you view. People get busy. You know, sometimes you're just exhausted and you don't want to talk about business on a Sunday, and I get it. I happen to look at Sundays as, you know, when I was younger, family days, church days. I'm more business minded now. And I think I look at Sundays as the first day of the week, which it is. And so I like to get a jump on my day and have intellectual conversations with entrepreneurs and get it started. So that's why we do this on Sunday. And I don't know, I just like it. So that's the thing. But I really want to say thank you again to Mitch Francis. What a dynamic human being. Badass Solutions. I mean, I want to deep dive that book. I think Mitch is going to send one to me. His people will send it. We're standing by for a few other people, but I'm excited about the upcoming things. So again, tonight, Jacaranda. I think that you guys might have known Jacaranda Foundation from Madonna's dealings with it, her support. It's really a small amount. In the long run, I'm not saying that $5,000 is not a large amount, because it is. I don't care how much money you have. It's still a sizable amount. But in Malawi, you can actually sponsor a library for children to learn in Malawi, in Africa. And so Madonna has been a part of helping these children and part of Jacaranda and supporting and donating. So we are looking to raise some money to do that. Shout out to Lainey Strauss. Tonight I will be bringing some beautiful swag items from Sorghum United and Sorgho Squad. And in case you don't know what sorghum is, it's an ancient Egyptian grain. It is heavy and rich in nutrients, protein, and you know, it's really good for the environment. It's good for you. It's healthy, gluten-free, and it's something that you would want to incorporate in your diet. So I had tried it for the first time a couple months ago, and I really loved it. It tastes kind of like we did pop sorghum with some flavoring, and I enjoyed it. So we're working on rolling out some products and really getting the word out. I predict it's the next flaxseed. You know how like flaxseed got real big, or what's the other thing that like flax crisps and things like this? You know, I think it will hit mainstream here soon, hopefully in the U.S. and be a source of nutrition and provide people opportunities to feed themselves at a low cost, right? So that's what Sorghum United is about, empowering people, giving them nutrition and teaching them a skill on how to farm. And it's an agricultural brand at its core. I've been brought aboard to make it funner, sexier. You know, let me show you guys so you can see it. Sorghum Squad is an educational comic book series. I'll have them here. They're packed for the event. That teaches kids about food and, you know, nutrition. So it's a fun way to deliver it, the message. All right. Yeah, Sam will put someone on as soon as they come. Again, if you're not following us, please follow us on Instagram at the Startup with Monique LeRae. I will catch up on my uploads. Again, I was gone. I went around the world in 10 days for meetings in India for Sorghum United and for shooting some scenes with people for the Endemic Project documentary. So it's been quite a lot. But, you know, it won't always be like this. I'll look back and really be grateful for all the people that joined our efforts and joined me in this, you know, sorry, my hat's so crooked. Who joined me in this adventure and who have been patient, right? It takes a lot. And I did this on a dime, guys. You might see some of my posts on Instagram and you might think it's all fun and games and like it's a vacation. I take moments in the trip that I can take and make it wonderful for myself. And I have it, you know, gratitude, I have an attitude of gratitude, a very grateful moment in those times. But I got to tell you, it's rigorous. It's not a honeymoon, even though I've never had a honeymoon. It's not what you think it is. And that's what, you know, social media is, a highlight reel. Yeah. I mean, it's really, it's really a highlight reel. It is not what you might think. So with that, that's not me complaining. That's me just being transparent that these things that I'm doing are not easy. And usually that's why you have a staff of 20, 50 people. I've slowed down a little bit because I wanted to take care of myself on this last trip. There was just a lot going on, a lot on my plate, and I didn't want to burn myself out mentally. So, you know, I incorporated some yoga when I could. I got a workout in. I slowed my roll, and I said I can only control what I can control, and it helps. It helps. And I had some support from some close friends, so thank you. You know who you are. I would just encourage any entrepreneur, startup person that's doing their thing and looking to truly go all in and invest in themselves and what they're doing. And, you know, just be practical about it. Give yourself a break. Don't beat yourself up too much. And communication. Just communicate. And with that, let's communicate with our next guest, Gary. Welcome to the Startup. How's it going, Gary?
Monique, it's going great. Thanks for inviting me. I'm super happy to be here.
Oh my gosh, I'm super happy you're here. And why don't we go full screen, Sam, and give Gary an opportunity to introduce himself and his brand, his products, his services, what he's got going on.
Awesome. So thank you, Monique. So here's my deal. Like, I've been trying to answer one simple question for almost 30 years. And the question is this, like, how do everyday entrepreneurs, how do people that have nothing create something? And I spent the last 20 years traveling around the world, interviewing hundreds and hundreds of what I call everyday entrepreneurs. I no disrespect, but I'm not really interested in Elon Musk or the billionaire, you know, entrepreneurs. I want to know how somebody, everyday people do it. And what I found is that there's a very predictable underlying set of beliefs and assumptions that are driving the behavior. And they're real subtle, but if you understand those underlying beliefs, they can make a big difference in your life. So sorry, I'm going long here, Monique. My name is Gary Schoeniger. I'm the founder and CEO of the Entrepreneurial Learning Initiative. We are the world's leading provider of entrepreneurial mindset education, training, and professional development. So that's a quick overview.
Wow. Okay, well, you are on the right show with the right person because I remain curious. I stay curious. I believe in asking questions. I believe in getting into things. And I really love, just like you, to kind of connect the dots. I think that's part of what my rant was earlier about the film trilogy, the quest I went on during the pandemic and now finishing it up. And thank you for spending time and energy and asking this question. I am thrilled to have you here. Let's get into it without giving away too much of your secret sauce, because I know it takes time, money, and energy to find these things out. What are the underlying tenets that drive entrepreneurs to go from nothing to something? This is something I'm very interested in.
Yeah, it's a good question, Monique. I try to always trying to distill it down into a simple thing, but I'll get to a more detailed answer in just a second, but it really does come down to these subtle underlying beliefs and taken for granted assumptions of which the entrepreneurs themselves are not even aware. Right. So I've kind of gone about this like an anthropologist, like an entrepreneurial anthropologist. Like, why are some like, because no one's talking about this, right?
No, not that I've seen. Not to this micro level, no.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's these everyday entrepreneurs. And I'm telling you something, Monique, I've interviewed entrepreneurs in South Africa. I just got back from Cameroon. Like, people in unbelievable poverty that figure out how to get out of it. Right. Mm. And what it comes down to, I mean, I think the most important idea is that the hope circuit in their brain is open. Right. So psychologists talk about. So here's what I've done, Monique. I just want to add a little bit more to what I said earlier. So
go for it.
I keep like interviewing entrepreneurs. I've got a podcast dedicated. It's called The Entrepreneurial Mindset Project. I just put these interviews out there. Right. I'm sort of like the Anthony Bourdain of entrepreneurship, right?
I love that. God bless him. Anyway. Yeah.
and so I kept noticing these common underlying themes that keep coming up. And I'll talk to you about what those are in a second, right?
Okay.
And so in my first book, which I'm going to grab off the shelf right here.
Yes.
It's called Who Owns the Ice House? 8 Life Lessons from an Unlikely Entrepreneur.
Great.
Okay.
Beautiful cover.
Thank you. So that came about. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, interviewing entrepreneurs, and everyone said, you got to talk to this guy, Clifton Talbert. Like, who is this guy? This was clamshell days, 2008. You can't Google somebody on the fly, right?
Okay.
So I got like a film crew with me. I'm in Tulsa. I'm like, you know, flying by the seat of my pants, right? So I show up in this guy's office with 2 hours notice. He was about 65 at the time. And all I knew is that he was one of the founders of Stairmaster.
Great. That's a very notable brand. Yep.
Right. 65 years old, African American. I said, Clifton, how did you learn how to think like an entrepreneur? Do you feel like you were born that way, or did something happen with a people or an event in your life that kind of put you on that track? You know, that's kind of an opening question I like to use.
Yeah.
And he explained to me that he was born in the South in the 1940s to a teenage mom, had no dad. He was picking cotton. He said, that's what the way of life was, right? And he pulled this picture out of a shoebox. That's his Uncle Cleve. He goes, this is the guy that taught me how to think like an entrepreneur.
Wow. That blows me away.
I'm telling you, Monique. So then he starts describing, like, Uncle Cleve's got a fourth grade education. He could read and he could write and he could count. Wow. He's the only one in our town that's got money in the bank. And we can't even go in the front door. They make us go in the back door. And so Clifton's describing this to me from the perspective of this little 13-year-old kid. All he knows is the cotton field. And now he's following around his uncle.
Ugh.
Right?
Wow.
It's an incredible story. But the subtitle, Monique, is 8 Life Lessons from an Unlikely Entrepreneur. There are really these 8 common themes that emerged from hundreds of interviews. We just use this story as a vehicle.
Great. Let's go full screen. Why don't we go ahead and, did you tee this up? Let's go full screen, Sam, and Gary's going to give us these, some of these bullet points.
I'll lay them all out for you. Yeah. Happy to lay them out. Thank you, Monique. So here's the first thing I notice in an entrepreneur is they have a compelling goal. There's something in the future in their mind they're trying to accomplish, it's a compelling goal. They see something in the mind they're trying to get to. Now, what does this look like? When you interview an entrepreneur, almost every single one of the 700 entrepreneurs I've interviewed will use the word vision. But they don't always use that word, but there's something compelling. And now the research is very, very clear on this. When we're engaged in this positive future orientation in our subconscious mind, we're able to access problem-solving abilities that are not otherwise available to us. So the question I like to ask people is this: do you have a compelling goal? And if not, why not? Really? That's really the foundation, Monique, to the whole thing. It's like the compelling goal is pulling the behavior out of the individual. So let me flip the script on you for a second. What happens to a human being in the absence of a compelling goal?
Oh, complacency, boredom, laziness.
Doom scrolling, we're subject
to God. Doom scrolling, anti-motivation, not motivated. Depression.
Right. And so what's we call it choice for a simple one-word explanation. But what these entrepreneurs are doing, they don't realize they're doing it, is they're choosing their future rather than letting their circumstances dictate.
And extreme, by the way, extreme, difficult. Some people in those circumstances could not even fathom how to get out. It's a Rubik's Cube. It's truly a life Rubik's Cube. And, you know, yeah. And so I love that you said this because it's very important to identify this and lean all in that. Once you do know from your very, you know, your enriched research here, Gary, I think for myself, I can relate to that. And I was thinking as you were speaking and revealing your first top of mind findings, that is very true. And it's been that way forever, as long as I can. And, you know, you take what you've been given or where you were dropped off at and you go, all right, this is what it is. This is what it isn't. And at some point, I remember there's some point in a lot of things I do when I was younger, I was just always going for it. I was just committed to it. I was like, if I don't get a husband, if I don't have children, those are the beautiful things that a lot of women want. And of course, who doesn't want to be loved in that way? It does not matter. I want what I want. I will win. I want to be successful. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I have to sacrifice. I do not care. I was unapologetically ruthless to change my circumstances and to get ultimately to where I want to go. And I can see the crest.
Well, you've lived it. You've lived it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And so it's really important. Like, what's the story we tell ourselves, right? That's really what it comes down to. Like,
yes,
Monique, I could tell you stories for the rest of the week. Like, people with, like, an Army veteran, Dawn Haffaker, she woke up in an Army, Walter Reed, her right arm's gone. She has no idea how she got there.
Oh, my right? God.
She said her life is over. She's depressed. She's in rehab. She's thinking everything's over for her. And then she goes, my first day of rehab, they wheeled me in a wheelchair. I saw this dude with no legs taking his first steps.
Wow.
She goes, I'm just missing an arm.
Right. Perspective. I got the chills just now. It blows you away. It really, so I don't want to cut you off here, Gary, because we have to have you come back. You are such an asset to the collective. I really want to thank you from the best part of my soul for everything that you have done, what you have been doing. I want to hear more about what got you started, because I know that there's a very cool, interesting, dynamic story there. Because if you're doing this work, that means the man behind the work has a story.
You got that right. Yeah.
I know I do. And so we have to make sure a note, Sam, remind me, Sam's not my assistant. He runs the station. I'll remind myself and I'll speak with your people, but let's hold that book up again, Gary. If people want to deep dive over the holidays, if you're traveling, where can we find
it? Amazon, hardcover, softcover, Audible, Kindle. It's all there. Amazon. Who owns the Ice House? 8 life lessons from an unlikely entrepreneur. It's gone all over the world. And I'll just leave you with this, Monique, if you just I'll summarize what some of the things I learned from interviewing these underdog entrepreneurs. I want to make sure your audience hears this. Your ability to make yourself useful to other humans is a source of unimaginable power. Your ability to make yourself useful to other humans is a source of unimaginable power, and it's available to anyone. It doesn't require money. It doesn't require genius. It doesn't require inventive. It doesn't require academic credentials. It doesn't require you to be charismatic. It doesn't require anything you don't have already. It just requires you to shift the way you think about yourself and how you create value in the world.
Beautifully said. Beautiful message to leave us on a Saturday, on a Sunday, heading into our week. Gary, come back and let's hear more and dive deeper. I want to get your notes on Africa because I leave in less than 3 weeks as well. And congratulations. You're awesome.
Thank you, Monique. Thanks for having me. Really awesome to be here. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. It's our pleasure. I want you back. So
you got
keep doing your good work. All right. That's Gary, you guys. Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to jump in with our next guest. Marcy B. We're shifting here, guys. We're going into fantasy fun world now. You might know Marcy B. from her collection of thrilling romance, amazing fantasy. What's the official genre that you're in, Marcy?
Well, I think I started with romance suspense, but it kind of trickles into romance thriller.
Nice. Well, thank you for making time again. And it's great to see your happy face. I was traveling on this last trip and I was going through my books and I saw your I saw your awesome bookmark that you sent. I love your sense of humor and your way of being and just keeping it light and bright in a world that seems so dark. And thank you for your creative mind. I think last time we spoke, you were finishing off another piece of the collection. Mm-hmm. Update us on your book.
Well, the third book came out online in hardback on Friday. Yes. So it is now available online in hardback. I would say paperback will be available on those places online by the end of the week.
Very good. Congratulations. You're just over there killing it. So why don't we go full screen and give Marcy about 5 minutes to reintroduce herself to the listeners and viewers and tell them who she is.
Hello, I am Marcy Blasky. I am a I decided that in retirement, I was going to live my dream of writing novels. And so here I am. I have a 4-book series and the third book just came out. The first book has won some awards and I'm doing very well. I'm living my dream.
I love it. Okay, Marcy. So we are in the holiday season. So what do we want to share with people who got that shopping list? They're checking it twice. Why should your books be on their shopping list? And who are your books for? And how can they buy them?
I would say my books are for women and men, but women seem to gravitate to the romance a little more than men. I've never really gotten that because it does the same thing for everybody, but whatever. But I would say women, I want to say 18 and up because I think it appeals to all women. I don't think it has an age limit, but I do think that going into the holidays, I've had a lot of people say, oh, I'm asking my kids to get me
we've got a little
all the books that you have out right now, that's what I'm asking for Christmas. And it's so It is so great to hear people say that, you know. I'm just thrilled with all of it. And I was in the grocery store the other night and I looked like death. I'm telling you, I told my husband, this is when I'm going to see somebody, because I had no makeup on. My hair was a hot mess. I had on sweatpants and a sweatshirt. And this lady comes up to me and she says, "Hey, I just finished your second book. When's the third one coming out?" I'm like,
wow, you got them hooked. It always is like that. Well, get used to it, because it sounds like you're really making a splash in your community and we're spreading the word. Marcy will be with me here in LA in the end of February. We'll have that announcement out. I know. I'm very excited to have you here in person.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be so fun. And we're going to just rip it up and make it make sense for you in your travels here. But I think what I like about you, Marcy, is you're just like unafraid to go for it. You're like, yeah, you know, I come from a small town, but you just really just go for it. And now getting that first book out and getting the feedback, how has that given you more, you know, encouragement to just move forward?
Well, there's just so much more to it. It does. It's very encouraging, because if I'm starting to get an audience and after the series, I have books ready to go, ready to be published. And I'm really hoping that my people just keep finding me, you know. But it's more to me than just writing the books. I mean, I'm trying to get my books, have my books get more traction, because I want to do other things. Like I already have in my head that there's going to be a Tastefully Sexy perfume. Tastefully Sexy is the name of my brand. Why would you not, as a romance writer, as a romance author, why would you not have stuff called Tastefully Sexy? Why would I give up on that, right?
Hello. And that's the mind of an entrepreneur. And that's the mind of someone that's got a startup that's ready to scale. Because I always tell my clients, you're going to do this, make sure you have your book ready. Make sure you have your products ready. Make sure you have your merch ready in your mind or ready to go. Because when this first thing goes, you only have so much time and visibility. So you got to, I love that your head's already there. I would love to see a scratch and sniff. That would be great.
Oh. I already have. I mean, I've done all the research. I know exactly what base tone notes and you know the after notes. I know what all of them are that I like, and I know right where it is. I've researched the perfumers, you know, but I'm just not there yet, because I have to make more of a splash. And nobody's going to buy perfume just like my books. Nobody's going to buy perfume unless they know the stories. So I have to keep doing things. I appreciate you letting me get on here and just keep telling the stories and let people get to know me and read my books more, right? Get more, have more books for people to read and gain that popularity. I'm going for it.
I will have a full download for you on my view on your books when I see you in person. As you can imagine, I have quite a heavy reading load, but just know you're in queue, my dear. And I would give you a big hug, because I'm already kind of, you know, I'm excited that you're having this moment. Please enjoy this moment and be encouraged to push it forward. Guys, if you have someone in your life that needs a little something to get their mind off life or work or stress and wants to go into this cool fantasy world of romance, maybe they're going through a breakup. Maybe they just got ghosted or something, or they ghost someone or whatever. But maybe they just need a little dose of what something could be. And that's where, you know, you can find Marcy. She will meet you in this moment and get your mind off anything that might be a little less delightful and really bring some delight to your world. So yes, let's hold up this book. Where can we get it?
This is the first one. This is the one that starts it all. It is Amazon, Walmart.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's on my website, marcyb.net. It's everywhere. Here's the second one. I got them back here. This one right here. Oh, spice.
Spice
is nice.
Look at that cover. I love the colors.
I know.
Wow. It's just, that's really tantalizing.
Yeah. This is the one that just came out. It is a little freaky. This is where the thriller thing comes in. Well, you know, with a title like Nightmares and Premonitions, it's going to be a little
I love it. Yeah. It's giving a Twilight vibe, and I'm a big Twilight person. And you're you, you know, I want you to be you, and they're them. But yes, I think that you're tapping into a niche that people are going to love. It's a cross between thriller and love, which is great. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Congratulations.
There's love everywhere.
There's love everywhere. Congratulations on Walmart. Congratulations on Amazon. Congratulations on Barnes & Noble. All huge, all smart distribution choices. And I'm so blessed to know you. We'll have you back next month. We'll find a time between your schedule, a touring darling, your book tours, and
love it.
My travels. And you'll be
touring
back
touring darling.
Here. Yes, we're having, that was the promise issue. We're going to have her back once a month. And we'll talk about next year. But Marcy B, everybody, I'm going to put it out there. New York best-selling author in the future. I'm putting it out there here on the Startup. What we start today, have a good week. Be well. See you soon.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.